Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about a touch of football can get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's your favorite Baltimore Ravens podcast. It's a podcast where we talk about everything and anything Baltimore Ravens football, a podcast about your Super Bowl champion, Baltimore Ravens. Listen to us on iTunes or Stitcher. Joining me, as always, we got Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, I'm fresh out of hospital, man. That game gave me a heart attack, but I'm here.
Well, you know what? We were live. We were in person to that game on Sunday. How great was it that we stayed all the way through overtime and that we got to see that final Justin Tucker kick right there, right live at M&T Bank?
Oh, that was great, man. I mean, the atmosphere was great. I mean, you could just hear the deflation. I mean, when we got that sack and then James Hedebo intercepted it, and obviously we had the ball, we thought the game was in hand. I mean, we're jumping for joy, high-fiving everybody. The stadium was rocking. And then all of a sudden, it's just a deflation. Just it was just the air just let out of that stadium. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was right in front of us. I really couldn't believe it. But and then even with the coin toss, and they won it, I didn't think we were going to win that game. I'm thinking, oh, great, they're going to go down. They're going to score a touchdown, and game's over. Because obviously with the new rules, a field goal doesn't win it. It only prolongs the overtime and we get a chance. So it was interesting that fourth down stop was critical. I mean, obviously the gameplay was suspect at best. I mean, we're up 17-0 at half. We're feeling good. And then, you know, we're tied at 17. I mean, it's just, it's uncalled for. We score 17 in the first half. They score 17 in the second half. And 3 points in overtime equals to a 2017 win. An important win. A must win it was. And, oh, man, dude, it's just... the Ravens just know how to give a good game like that. It's just, oh, wait, there's more. So, but hey, game winner for JT, 4-5 is a lot better than 3-6. And the AFC North and even the AFC playoff race, it's shaping up, man. It's shaping up.
Yeah, and let's talk about this real quick. The Ravens and the Bengals they looked very much alike. First half, the Ravens scored 17 points unanswered. Second half, the Bengals scored 17 points unanswered. What is it about the Ravens, and I mean, we're not a podcast about the Bengals, so we don't have to cover them, but what is it about these two teams that they are having such a hard time playing a full game? I mean, we saw that first half, and the Ravens looked, they looked pretty good. I mean, there was an actual touchdown in the first quarter, which was,
right.
I don't think has happened in this season yet. And if it has, it's once or twice. It's not something that regularly is happening with this offense. What do these guys have to do to make sure that they're playing a full 60-minute game?
I think they just got to keep pedal to the metal, man. They got to execute. And I don't know what's wrong. The running game is just not there. I just don't know if it's a game plan, if it's execution, if it's a scheme. The Ravens are, it's almost like they're doing everything they can to, you know, try to execute the game plan. I see it, but it's just, it's not coming out right. And I don't know, I don't think things should change. I don't think so. I mean, Harbaugh's saying that there's no execution that needs to change. There's no personnel. It's pretty much, we just need to go out and play the A game instead of whatever game we're getting. But what it comes down to, I think, Brandon, is the defense played great. Special teams played awesome. And this offense, again, was suspect. I mean, you got to get points on the board. I mean, we've had a lead for the first time in about over a month. So it was kind of, I was impressed with that. The defense, I couldn't gush about that enough. It was great, strong gameplay. We held firm. I mean, obviously, if I flip on the offensive side, look at it. I mean, Flacco threw an interception that was suspect at best. I couldn't believe that. There's no reason to throw in double coverage. I don't know if the wind played a factor. It was windy there on Sunday. So
oh, it was cold.
Oh, man, it was brutal, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
I mean, I don't know if that played a factor into it, obviously. But I don't know if you heard this today and if it was texted, tweeted or not. But you remember last year, obviously, the 4th and 29, he did a little Ray Rice up the middle, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, there's a new saying this year. It's fee, fi, fo, fum, Ray race up the middle for a gain of one. I don't know if you heard that today or not.
I have not heard that, but that's...
Yeah, it was all over the place. I was beside myself. I'm like, too much for a diddle diddle.
Yeah.
I was like, with all these nursery rides, man, Ray race is right in the thick of it. But he needs some magic beans like Jack and a Beanstalk or something because he's not finding anything.
He's not finding anything, I don't know if the problem is Ray Rice. It might be more of our offensive line. Here's something that a lot of people aren't talking about, and we let's bring this up here. You remember Ray Rice, he was injured. I think it was the last game that you and I went to, and I believe, you know, he wasn't. He didn't play the next game. Yeah, he didn't play the next game this season. So he sat out a game. I'm wondering if he's having a problem playing because maybe he's not at 100%. No one's really talking about that. But maybe after he missed that 1 week, maybe he needed more time off to heal up or something. Or maybe he's playing with like a nagging injury that the team isn't talking about.
Right, exactly. I mean, just look at a couple of the games in the past, Brandon. I mean, I can't even. I'm not even stumbling because I'm just trying to find an answer. I can't even read back anything up. It's just they flat out stink and running the football. You can't get any plain Jane in that. And I don't know if you've seen anything, but it was just every time they got outside, they were stuffed. Every time they got inside, they were stuffed. There was anything that wasn't working, and it was very frustrating to see that. And I don't know if you saw that from the vantage point we had up there in our seats, where it was just. The penetration, you saw it live. It was just that there was Bengals helmets in the backfield. I don't know what gives, man. I mean, I've never seen an offensive line that bad. And I don't know if you know this, but, you know, throwing that in there too, there was a comment made on Monday Night Football. Obviously, the Buccaneers helped us out by beating the Dolphins, and the Dolphins hit at 4-5. But the Dolphins had 2 rushing yards on Monday night. 2.
Wow.
All game. So, and they said, when I think it was John Gruden himself who said, if you're not running the football, you can't stop the pass effectively, and you're struggling. And when that happens, you're going to lose football games more often than not. And that's what the Ravens' problem is. You know, the problem is they're sitting a one game under 500. They're in the thick of the AFC playoff race, in the thick of it. I mean, don't count them out. I mean, every team has its ups and downs. And what I want to stick on the running game is, like last year, you know, the Redskins beat us too. They were 3-6. They went on a tear, ended up making the playoffs, winning their division, and making the playoffs and losing in the wild card round. So teams can go on runs. I mean, will the Ravens go on runs? Who knows? But, you know, obviously we'll talk about the Bears game shortly, but you have to take it game by game. But if we look at the big picture here, just take the snapshot of the next homestand. We play four home games, and we play 4 home games at the end of the year, versus 3 road games starting this weekend. So you look at it this way, Jay Cutler is going to be out. They're already without Charles Tillman, so you figure if you go into Chicago and win, you come home against the Jets. We have 3 straight home games. We come home against the Jets, then it would be Pittsburgh, and then it's Minnesota. The 3 easy winnable games, and those AFC games are going to be what's going to determine where we stand. The Ravens aren't saying much out of it, but if we think they're going to just get in and win a couple games in playoffs, the running game's got to get better. And that's basically what my bottom line is here. My point is the running game's got to get better, or we can sit here and we'll show the code all we want. But if I looked at it this way, if we had to run the football effectively, we could have beat the Packers because we were first and goal on the 1 and couldn't get in. If we ran the ball, maybe we would have beat the Bills. Who knows about the Browns? So maybe 2 more wins better than where we are. But I'm not happy about it. But again, a win's a win. I'm sticking behind this team. And if they can run the football, that's it. If they can just catch fire and run the football and the light bulb goes on, this team is dangerous. And I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah, this team will be dangerous. And we were just talking last week and saying this could be it. This could end the season. This might be it for them, but they do come out with a win this past week. And looking ahead, I mean, we're going to talk about the Chicago Bears game in a little bit, but Jets, you know, Jets are a team that is you don't really know who they're going to be. They're like Jekyll and Hyde. They could be a very forceful team, one that'll really take you down. Then there'll be another team where you can completely run over them. The Steelers aren't doing well this year, but they were able to come out with a win against us this season already, and it's the Thanksgiving game, so there's plenty of pressure right there. Now, the Vikings, they have, you know, a few weapons up their sleeve, but again, maybe not something to worry about too long. But this win right here was a huge one. It was a division rival against the Bengals. Even though it did go to overtime, they were able to get it done. I think James Ahedibo had the game of his career last Sunday. I really was impressed with him, and I liked the fact one of the shining things that I really took me it made me think a lot after we got out of the stadium is that they were trying new things. It wasn't the same old plays. We saw, even though it didn't work out, we saw one play where, you know, Joe Flacco gets the ball, he hands it off, then somebody hands it back to Joe and he launches it down the stadium. I think if it wasn't as windy, it may have turned out to been an actual caught ball. But I like the fact that they're at least trying new things now, and it seems like they weren't doing that before. Maybe it's Joe calling it now, but I like that we have new stuff to see on the field, because it seems to at least caught the Bengals off guard a little bit.
It has. I mean, they did a little bit surprising. I mean, we saw Tyrod Taylor in there. They tried to flea flicker, so they're at least trying to mix it up a bit. But I mean, I think they just need to keep it simple, because if they get away their game plan and play out of their element, it's just not going to work, and it's just going to fall through the cracks. So I would say a little trickery here or there, but I wouldn't overdo it. So I mean, that's my point of view on that. Switch gears of it, man. I mean, other than the win and how much of a thriller game it was to be there live and the call invades, how much fun did we have tailgating? I mean, we did Ravens Walk, and we tailgated in Lot H, which was great. We saw all kinds of great fans there. I mean, dude, we got up and close and personal with Rise and Conquer. It was just great to see the actual Raven bird up close, man. I mean, and the guy was telling me that they were African Ravens and not North American Ravens, and how aggressive they could be. And, dude, we had a blast with that. And obviously we tailgated with, Hall of Famer, J.O., man. He was, on 9-8 Rocks pregame, and we got to see a little bit of a good action in the Ravens Walk, man.
All right, for this week's version of tailgating from Lot H, we're actually walking over a bridge right now. We're going over to Ravens Walk. Josh, you've done Ravens Walk before. I've done Ravens Walk before. For people that don't know what Ravens Walk is, tell them all about it.
Well, Ravens Walk is one of the best experiences in the NFL. I hear it all around from opposing fans. What it is that stretch leading from Oriole Park all the way to Johnny U at the statue. There's nothing but tailgates, local restaurants and bars, set up mini bars. There's a live band, there's games. It's pretty much an interactive pathway from, you know, obviously the city right to the game. It's just the best experience in tailgating. So obviously if you want to leave your tailgate spot to check it out, feel free. It's great, man.
Yeah, I love Ravens Walk. You might be able to meet Rise and Conquer there. You might take a spin of the Maryland Lottery wheel. You might get some free food from Giant. I don't know. Are you gonna try out your Maryland Lottery luck today?
I'm gonna try my Maryland Lottery luck. I mean, I see the millions are up there. I mean, the Powerball and the Mega Mill are all in triple digits. So I think why not? And I think we can test our luck, because I think maybe not. Let's see if we can win today, right?
Absolutely. I think the Ravens need as much luck as they can get right now. They got to beat those pesky Bengals today. So we're going to do Ravens Walk. We're going to hear some great music. We got some local bands playing. We got, you know, Under Armour's here, a bunch of cool stuff. So almost game time. So you ready for this?
Ready. Let's Baltimore Ravens. Let's fly high today. Hey, this is Josh reporting live from Ravens Walk. Becky, say hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Great.
You serving? What do you got? What you guys got going on here?
Steak with Montreal steak sauce.
Steak sauce? Montreal?
Yes.
It's delicious. I've had a few steaks. How'd you like the steak, Brandon?
Oh, it was delicious,
you
man.
Like steak?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's pretty good. Well, they're feeding us right down here at Ravens Walk, right? So, you're not going to the game, huh?
No.
But you're going to root us hard.
Yes.
You're going to root us hard.
Of course.
And you're going to get full on steak.
No.
You got it. All right, girl. Well, thanks for talking, and this is Josh and Brandon checking out.
Yeah, Ravens Walk was a lot of fun. I think I started a new tradition this past Sunday going down to the game. And as many of you know, listening to the show, I'm a huge fan of Friday Night Lights. I know Josh is a big fan of Friday Night Lights as well. And I bought a banner online, and it is it says "Clear Eyes, Full Hearts Can't Lose," and I brought it into the stadium. Josh and I got a picture holding it up with the field in the background. I think this is going to be a thing now. Every single time I go down there, I'm going to have that flag with me. It's kind of going to be like my lucky charm, because look, they even though it went to overtime, the Ravens still came out with a win. I don't want to take credit for bringing the banner in and maybe helping them get clear eyes and full hearts in this game because they didn't lose. But that's my new tradition, is I'm going to bring that flag with me every single time they play.
Yeah, man. It pushed them over the edge. I mean, 12th man, we were part of it. We were there. I can't say enough, man. That banner was great. I think it was just, and if we can adopt that, it's sort of like a war cry, man, because we can't lose. I mean, this team right now really can't. One loss, maybe two, possible. Three is out of question. I mean, right now, as it stands, every game's crucial. Going down the home stretch here with the back end of the schedule, looking us in the face, and obviously the Ravens played the best November football they have in a while. I mean, Joe Flacco is 18-6 in November. I just look at it this way. If we can come through November and trudge through with a spotless record and we can win December, it's going to ramp up. I mean, maybe just sneak into the dance and we can be one of the AFC teams. I mean, the AFC picture right now, there's three spots already pretty much locked up, and we're going for the 16. I mean, obviously we're going to probably be playing on the road unless the Bengals falter down the stretch and we can beat them. But I really can't wait to get going. But obviously it starts this Sunday in Chicago. I mean, this is going to be an interesting matchup. There's matchup problems all over the map for the Ravens. But if they can they got a few breaks. Like I said, I teased before, Jay Cutler's ruled out. He injured his groin and ankle this past Sunday, and then Charles Tillman, one of their great defenders, he is out for the year. So, again, we've had some help, but it is a road game. It's in Soldier Field, so, again, you know, if the Ravens are going to prove themselves, they're a playoff team and they're for real, and they want to at least crawl back into this race, it starts with on the road, because they're going to have to be road kings and road warriors coming playoff time, because they're going to have to do it on the road. I mean, the Packers did it, Super Bowl 40. They went on the road just to succeed all the games and won it. So it can happen. But the Ravens right now control their own destiny. They need a little bit of help, which, again, started with Monday Night Football with Tampa Bay beating them. So I think all I got to do is believe in what this team can do, believe in the execution. And I just can't say more enough about maybe that's it. I mean, Jacoby Jones said all week, you never know what a win can do and what a win can spark. And this is probably what's going to happen, is this win could spark us down a stretch run. And if Cincinnati is going to falter, we're a game and a half out of the division. We're right there for the taking. And with a game against Pittsburgh in the division left and then the showdown in Week 17 against Cincinnati, that's probably going to determine who wins the North or who gets in and who gets out. So every game is going to be a dogfight. Every game is going to be that much. It means that much more. So we just need to get down and do it and just execute the game plan and not really worry too much on what's going on, because obviously the Ravens just keep on winning. Everything's going to fall into place. So I'm going to just really have a close eye on that. Obviously, we don't want to scoreboard watch right now, but we don't want to get down to week 14, 15, 16, or 17 and we're scoreboard watching. I mean, that's the last thing we want to have, but we just need to take care of business.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get right into it. Let's talk about the Chicago game. You mentioned it already. Jay Cutler officially ruled out, will not play against the Ravens. How does this change up the defense? Do we know what can they expect with this new quarterback coming in? I mean, if they kind of planned ahead, I guess they're going week by week, but if they kind of plan ahead and had Jay Cutler kind of in their sights, how are they going to differentiate their defensive plans now that he's out?
Well, I think they're going to attack Josh McCown, but what my angle is, is I'd rather have a Jay Cutler in there because he's not 100%, and then we can knock him out of game. Because Josh McCown, he's healthy, he's mobile, he provides, and he's been playing decent. So, in a sense, you almost want Cutler in there. But again, it's Jay Cutler's. I mean, he's proven time and time again his his connections with Brandon Marshall and throwing the football, these guys, they're pretty much on the same page chemistry-wise. So I would say it helps, but Josh McCown, let's see what really happens. I mean, I like the matchup. I don't say I hate it. Again, if they can rattle him and get pressure, he's maybe ahead of will have another 2 or 3 interception game, which would be great for us. Maybe turn one of his picks into a touchdown would be huge. And especially on the offensive side, the Ravens have thrown the football effectively because we can't be flinging the ball around 40, 50 times in Soldier Field. I've yet to check the weather for the game. We'd all know the Windy City could be windy there too as well in Chi-Town. So, I'm interested to see what the matchup breaks down, but I think it's stopping Matt Forte. They got two big receivers in Alshon Jeffrey and, of course, Brandon Marshall, the All-Pro. That's going to provide a matchup headache for us. I'd like to see who's going to be stuck on him all game. He had a monster game last Sunday, over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. Alshon Jeffrey had 100 yards receiving. So these guys, they're getting 100 yards apiece. So they're getting their targets. They're getting their looks. Matt Forte is dangerous out of the backfield. He's a great Pro Bowl running back. Let's see what happens. I mean, if the Ravens, this is going to be a nightmare matchup. I know it's an NFC team, but if they can prove it to the league and to AFC, to our fans and to themselves, if they're for real and they want to carry over the energy from the Bengals game, this is the game to get started, because then they come home for 3 straight. If they come home for 3 straight games and they're on a 2-game winning streak, I'm telling you what, look out, because the train might start catching some steam here. So if they can keep it up, I really can't wait to see what happens, man. I mean, I'm just chomping at the bit to get this game going. The stretch runs upon us, man. 3 straight at M&T Bank. It's going to be unprecedented with that Thanksgiving game for right in the middle. Again, the Bears, they pose that matchup threat. So if they can contain them, Ravens can easily win this game if they contain the matchups. I mean, but outside of that, it's going to be tough.
Well, like the big thing that you already said earlier this game is you got to score points to win.
So
let's talk about we didn't do it last week, but let's do it now. Let's talk about your game prediction. What do you think the score is going to be for this game? I'm interested to see what you say, because I mean, it came down to Justin Tucker last week. Depending on what you think, what do you think this game is going to end up being?
I think it's going to that's a good one. Yeah, because you know what happens. I don't know if I want to. I'll do a score prediction, because you remember we didn't do it last week. I don't know if you knew that.
That's right. I listened to it afterwards, and I'm like, oh, I completely forgot we didn't do that.
Yeah, and we won. So I'll do a score prediction, but it's almost like, should we not keep tradition? And obviously, it's only weird if it don't work. So I'll put one on the board anyway, since we're talking about it. But my score prediction, I think it's going to be a 1-score game. It's going to be right there for the taking, either team. I'm actually going to go out and live and pick the Ravens in this one. They proved to me that they can hang. I'm going to ride the momentum wave and say the Ravens get a road win, because they got Tillman out, they got Cutler out, and I think the Ravens know what's at stake here, and I think they're going to play at a high level on the road and come in Chicago and show them they mean business. I mean, Chicago's in a must-win because they're right in the thick of a division battle. They're a game out of first place. I think they're 5-4, and the Lions are 6-3, so... and they're right there tied with the Packers. So the Bears ain't their slacks. They got something to fight for, too. So they're not like they're winless and they're out of it. And they're trying to spoil the Ravens' plans. They're both fighting for a playoff spot. So it's going to be a hard-fought game, a playoff game. I think the Ravens get it. I think it's going to be a JT field goal once again. Another game winner for the guy. I'll go out and I'm going to say 23-20 Ravens. I'm going to put that on the board.
That sounds good to me. I for my player of the game, I'm predicting that Lardarius Webb has a big game. We haven't really heard a lot from him or said his name a lot on this show this past season, but this past week up against the Bengals, it looked like he was really coming to play, that he was healthy and felt good. Maybe he got some of that rust off after missing, you know, most of the last season. So I'm predicting that he's going to have a good game. He's going to do well, maybe an interception or two. Maybe we'll see a little bit of that spider web reflexes that he's known for. But that's my prediction. Lardarius Webb going to have a nice game against the Chicago Bears. Before we end up this show, there's something else that kind of happened. It's somewhat related to Ravens, it's like an offshoot, like a cousin almost of a Ravens story here. But former Baltimore Raven Ed Reed released by the Houston Texans today. Josh, what is your feeling on this? Because we talked about this over the summer, how this was more of a loss to the Baltimore Ravens fans and then to the actual organization, because he was an aging player and there were a lot of younger guys coming up, and he wasn't really playing to the ability that he had before. And there was a lot of stuff going around as well about his locker room talk and everything, and that he may have been one of the guys to kind of rebel against Harbaugh. Do you think that he was let go for the stuff he said, his age, all of that? What's your whole feeling about the situation with Ed Reed being released by the Texans?
I don't think it I'm going to stay away from all the TMZ-ness of it all, and what he said, she said kind of deal. I'm not going to go there. I think it was more or less it was a personnel move. It was, you know, Ed, thanks for the memories. You did great, but your play's been declining. I mean, he hasn't really made any big playmaking abilities over in Houston. I don't think it has anything to do with what he said, because obviously I have a big firm stance on the freedom of speech deal, and you should be allowed to say what you say. I don't think it has anything to do with him going against Harbaugh or anything, because obviously Ed was very vocal. I mean, I don't know if you heard a lot of the pregame speeches. He was right in the thick of things, pushing his team on, especially in the playoff run, and in the later part of the last season, where he spoke in front of the team and addressed the team. He's a veteran. I mean, he was right there with Ray Lewis. He was the heart and soul of his team with defense, with along with Rip. So I don't think it has anything to do with that. So for the record, I'm going to stay away from that. Obviously, the Ravens let him go for a reason, and there's a reason why he's not in Texas right now. Probably for the same reasons. I mean, his hip, he had surgery. I just don't think he has any more. Two reasons why he would be back in purple and black. It wouldn't be to play. It would be to have that leadership spark. Maybe to mentor the secondary with Hedebo and Edelman. Maybe to sign a minimum contract, be on the bench. But I think it should be a voice. I mean, if anything, if you want a smart move, remember, I don't know, it was maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago where there was questions about the Ravens' leadership, and Ray Lewis was even asked about that, because there's no voice. There's nobody stepping up and really being the vocal voice leader. And honestly, I don't think it would be a bad move. I mean, I'm not trying to stand here and saying, you know, do I wish Ed Reed would come back to Baltimore? Well, absolutely. I wish he would. It'd be great. But I don't think it'd be a great move. But at the same time, with that answer, I'm going to do a piggyback on that and say it wouldn't hurt to have him for that leadership role. And so, you know what, Ed, come back. Can you address the team? You know, we need that presence back. And there's, you know, floating around with the rumors here that Pitta might be coming back by month's end. If we can get Dennis Pitta back, spark on offense. If we got, let's just say we put Ed Reed back there. I was even joking today and saying maybe it'll be a Ray Lewis type revival, where when Ray came back and said it was his last ride, that was what we got over the hump for the Super Bowl. Maybe Ed Reed comes back and says, you know, let's finish this thing. I want to, you know, retire as a Raven, you know, and maybe come back home full circle and push us into the playoff hunt for one last time. Who knows? My personal opinion, you should have retired with Ray at the end of the year, called a legacy, and he went to chase the money trail, and this is what happens. He wasn't meant for playing. His career's over. But when the news broke, I was like, really? And obviously, you know, I'm going to tell you this, Brandon, the power of social media is awesome. I was sitting around this afternoon, and I was lounging at lunchtime, and a guy was, he just told me, he goes, we were talking Ravens, he saw my Ravens vest, and he goes, Ed Reed just got released by the Texans. And I was like, what? No, you didn't. And I was looking on ESPN.com. I was looking, and I couldn't find anything. Nothing was breaking. The Ravens didn't send me a text message. Went on the Ravens site. And I was just like, are you kidding me? Do you know what happened to me, Brandon?
What happened?
I pulled up my Twitter, pulled up the feed. The first two or three, Baltimore son, Jess Terebic. Ed Reed to be released by Houston. Blah, blah, blah. And there's a couple of tweets. And then there's people tweeting, should we have Ed Reed back in purple and black? Twitter was my giveaway. It didn't even break on ESPN or on Facebook until maybe 10 minutes later, and then it finally came on ESPN maybe a half hour later on ESPN.com. So Twitter, telling you what, social media, if you want to find out anything, forget the news, forget the TV, forget SportsCenter, I'm telling you what, hit your Twitter feed, because people just, it's just, they find out instantly, and it's on Twitter within seconds, and it's incredible.
Yeah, that's where I go for all my news is Twitter. Twitter is an amazing...
Yeah, I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. But, to kind of go off of what you said, I think if Ed were to come back, yeah, the Ravens definitely do need some leadership. Ray Lewis has said that they need some leadership in there, and that's where they're really kind of falling behind. But Ed Reed coming back, I can see him doing, like, one of the sign-for-a-day contracts and then retiring a Raven. I don't see another team going after him. I just think his age is really what's really going to affect him. I mean, the Texans kind of took a shot. They signed him to like a 3-year deal, and then they decide to cut him after 6 games that he's played. So whether or not Ed Reed comes back, I just think it's a matter of time. I don't see him playing again. I don't see him coaching or anything like that. I really just see him coming back to retire as a Raven, same thing that Derek Mason did, join the Ring of Honor eventually. But it'll be interesting to see what Ed Reed decides to do. But shocking news coming out of Houston, though. I was really surprised to hear that because they really had some high hopes for him.
Yeah, I mean, it was a surprise. I mean, but again, it really wasn't because obviously we haven't seen every on the field. So it was due time. I mean, I think it was just time to say goodbye to his legacy, to his career. And I really can't wait to see what happens, if he's going to really retire hanging up, or is he going to, he could latch on to another team. Obviously he's a free agent. He could latch on another team for a run if they're willing to give him a contract and a look and say, here, come on board. And whether he wanted to go to San Fran or, I hate to say it, but, maybe it'd be to New England. I mean, he could do whatever he wants. He could retire and say, sign in our league. Fans have been great. We'll see you in 5 years in Canton. Or, obviously he'll be invited back to a one-day contract to retire as a Raven, have the press conference as usual, how many players do when they end up leaving and coming back home, what Brett Favre did, obviously, with a couple other players that did that, that left their former teams. Emmitt Smith did it with the Cowboys. Danny Tomlinson did it with the Chargers. So it has happened. Like I said, I think his playing career is over, but hey, if we can have a voice, Ed Reed's welcome. His voice is welcome back in the locker room anytime. But that's my personal take on it. But we'll see. We'll see what happens to Reed, and in the coming weeks, and maybe by next show, we'll be talking a 2-game Ravens winning streak and back to 500, and beating Chicago in a road win, and maybe Ed Reed will have a new landing spot, whether it be here in Baltimore, whether it'll be in retirement, or whether it be with another team, we don't know. But that's why we always look for the Twitter feeds and Facebooks for breaking news with me and Brandon, because as soon as it happens, we'll be tweeting it out and our thoughts about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, did we miss anything this show?
For the sake of Reed being let go, Ed Reed's got it this time, but not a chance. Had to bring the whole one back.
Absolutely. So,
absolutely.
If you want to talk Ravens football with Josh or I, we are both on Twitter. We just kind of talked about it. Follow me on Twitter at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people follow you?
You can follow me at ItalianGQ52.
And if you're on Facebook, go to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. We'll give you all kinds of news whenever a new call comes out. And go like the Brando Cash Network, Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. That's where you get information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. Now, make sure you tell a friend. Let them know where they can listen to the call. We are available on iTunes or Stitcher. So if you have an Apple or an Android, we are available on both platforms. No need to worry about that. Listen to the show whenever you want. It's on-demand radio. Plenty of stuff going on. So make sure you're letting people know. Be social with the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Vine and Reddit and everywhere that you are social on the web. Let people know about the Ravens and that you're a fan, that they should listen to the call as well. So that's pretty much it for the call this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Thanks, Brandon. Hey, fans, folks, what a win it was. We can catch our breath because, whoa, Cincinnati's behind us. But we're riding a 1-game winning streak. That losing streak's over. We're going to win number 2 in a row. Chicago, it's the site, Chi-Town. Home of the discount double check. We know the commercials making fun of Aaron Rodgers, but you know what? The Bears will be going down because the Ravens are coming in, and we're going to steal that victory from them. It's going to be a war because both teams, again, they're in the thick of things. Playoff races, division races. We got it, but let's bring them on. But we got Sunday at 1 o'clock, Ravens, and we have the Bears from Chicago at 1 p.m., so we're going to go Baltimore Ravens. Let's fly high on Sunday.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.